I want to just kind of say thank you to all of our first and second servicers that helped the last 2 weeks make it possible. Last Sunday, we celebrated 125-year anniversary of a church being here at 2nd and Jackson Street. And you know what? It was almost 100% traditional last week. We had choir, robes. I preached in a suit and tie. We did traditional well, and we're going to do more of that. But this Sunday, you know, is Vision Sunday, and I asked for all the congregations, all the services to be together so I can communicate one time, and so we could be together to capture the heart of the vision. But today was mostly contemporary. It's probably more what second service would be like. So if you're a guest with us today and you come for a 9:15 traditional service, next Sunday we're going to be back to having two separate services. And if you come at 11 o'clock looking for a contemporary service, well, you pretty much got a flavor of what we're like. So would you just touch your neighbor? And I've been doing that a lot lately. Touch your neighbor and tell them, say, we're going to be back to normal services next Sunday. All right. You know, when it comes time to preach, most of the time I take a text and I do my best to let that story come alive through Scripture. Today's going to be a little bit different, even though I'm going to try to paint you a picture in your mind's imagination. I really want you to kind of relax for a moment, and I really want to invite you on a walk. See, here at Citygate, walks, especially among the staff, are something that's commonplace. Ever since, you know, arriving on campus and seeing the transformation of downtown, one of my favorite things to do with a staff person is when they have something that they really want to talk to me about, I say, can we go for a walk? And what we do is we get out of the office, and I get to have an opportunity not only to receive or give information, but I get an opportunity to walk with somebody and enjoy their fellowship and enjoy the beauty in which God created around us. You know, you're a short walk away from the river, and all of a sudden you're looking at this river that God has created, or you're walking through downtown and you're seeing the construction or the businesses, or you're seeing people walking on sidewalks. And sometimes it's just going around our block here, and you get to enjoy the oak trees. So this morning, I'm going to ask you, would you go on a walk with me? Would we in our imagination leave this sanctuary for a few moments, and as if we were just taking a walk downtown and being able to share with one another the importance of going on this walk together? I'm going to provide a little bit of information, and then I'm going to try to stir and inspire you to where we're going. And then at the end, I'm really going to ask you to keep going on this walk with me for 2018. And so with that said, instead of me taking a text, I'm going to read some scriptures throughout the walk that we have together. But would you pray with me and for me? Father, right now I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to now take your word and touch people's lives with it. Father, I want it to go beyond someone's capabilities of communicating or their lack thereof. I want it to go past a person. I want it to go to the still small voice of the awesome God that is asking a church to walk into areas that are unbelievable. Some of the areas you're asking us to walk are borderline impossible. But we know that all things are possible through a God that can do anything. So, Father, anoint me with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to enable me to communicate with an anointing. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. There's a unique thing about walks. First of all, even though they're commonplace at the office, and maybe you and your family go for walks around the block or go for walks on the beach. Do you know what? No matter who is on the walk, every walk starts the same. It doesn't even matter where you're going. You can be going for a long distance or a short distance, but every walk starts with the first step. No matter where you're going or who you're going with or how many you're going with, it always takes somebody taking the first step to go towards wherever you've decided to walk. Do you know that the Bible is full of stories of people that go on walks? Listen to just a couple of scriptures. It says that in Proverbs 16 and 9, it says, "The heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." In Deuteronomy 11, 22 through 24, it says, "For if you will be careful to do all that this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all of his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all of these nations before you, and you will dispose the nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the territory shall be from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river, the great river of Euphrates, even west to the sea." And then it's followed up again in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, as the Israelites are about to go over into the promised land. God starts in verse 2 talking about another walk. And it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses." See, there seems to be a principle, and when the people of God begin to walk towards where God establishes for them to go, it seems to be a biblical principle that no matter where God's telling them to go, if they're obedient enough to walk, take steps, he's telling them, every place that you put your foot, I'll give you. Every promise that is going to be required to help you fulfill the call that's on your life or your church or your family, God is establishing the fact that I can empower the steps of my people to be powerful, because wherever they walk according to obedience, it will mean that I am walking with them. And wherever we walk together, I have the ability, the sovereignty, to give them the promises of God associated with the journey. Can you imagine? Where would you walk if God was to tell you, sit right down next to you and say, "Wherever you walk today, I'll give you"? Where would you walk? Would it be in your living room? Maybe it would be down the corridors of your hallways in your home, and you would declare that you would walk around maybe unsaved loved ones, maybe spouses or children or grandchildren. Maybe you would walk around a work environment, and that you would want the salvation knowledge of Christ to invade a work environment. Where would you walk? Because going on a walk with God brings us to places. See, sometimes I think before we go looking outward, we've got to start looking inside. And we've got to have something. It's one thing to go on outreaches, and it's one of those things. I've been fighting a cold the last couple of days, and so it's really hot in here with all of these bodies, and I'm in a jacket. First services, I did my best to preach in this thing, but it's really hot in here, so I'm going to just lay that aside for just a second. When you go on an encounter, where would we go? See, to go on an outreach, you've got to have something to give. You've got to be willing to have something poured into you so you can pour it out. So even though we are a missional-minded church with almost everything that we do consists of being on mission with the power of the gospel in word and deed. But you know what? Sometimes you've got to have somebody or something pour into you so you can have something to pour out to others. Can somebody say amen? So before we go rescue the world, why don't we walk towards God? Why don't we walk towards a God encounter? And one of those God encounters will produce one of those moments that are necessary for 2018 to be successful. Because inside of a God encounter comes the sovereignty and the supernatural ability of God to take you wherever you are and wherever you're going and anoint and equip you in a place and an opportunity to do His work, His bidding, and to be His representatives on the earth. And all of a sudden now you get into the presence of God. And so many times we stop with how it feels. For those of you that have joined me over 15 years coming from a more charismatic or Pentecostal expression of worship, and now we've partnered with a liturgical Baptist church and how they contemplate and are quiet sometimes. And have you ever noticed that sometimes we get nervous when it gets quiet? We're looking for something to do, like, what do I do with my hands, you know? Am I supposed to raise them, clap them, sit, you know, what am I supposed to do? Raise them, you know? If all else fails, just raise them. We get in this encounter with God, and the moment we get close to God, we start feeling the awesome, unbelievable embrace of the sovereignty of God, and we concentrate on how it feels. Doesn't it feel good to walk with God? Amen. I'm not denying it. But sometimes He's wanting you to be in His presence for more than what it makes you feel. Because there's people in the world that are challenged with identity. They don't know who they are, what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to be. They don't know who to do it with. They don't know how to. And so what happens is we get in the presence of God. And do you know what? The first thing that can happen in your life when you walk into an encounter with God is He can give you an identity. He can tell you who you really are because He built you. He's got the blueprint. You know how many problems we would solve just right here if we got into a walk in the presence of God where He gave people identity of who you are? You say, well, Pastor, I know who I am. I'm a Christian. Do you know who you are in Christ? You know you're going to heaven and not going to hell, but do you know that you have an inheritance through the power of God's word that associates some family responsibilities and some family privileges in your life, that if you just learn who you are in Christ, that sometimes it could clear up some things at your house? Well, you say, well, Pastor, why do I really need to? I just don't want to go to hell. You're missing a whole lot about what God's all about. Because He built you for a purpose to reveal His glory. And here's where I've got to preach for a little bit. It's going to get a little bumpy, and then we're going to smooth out. Then we're going to celebrate at the end, okay? Here's where it gets a little bumpy. And I am a grace-driven preacher. I love grace. But do you know grace wasn't for you to live any way you want? That's good stuff right there. And if I was one of those guys that kept going, touch your neighbor, I'd tell you to text your neighbor right now. Text your neighbor. That's good stuff. Well, Pastor, I live in grace. You want me to tell you the essence of what grace was meant for you? Was not to make up for your mistakes, but to allow the power of God to transform and change you. And during the transformational changing process where you still mess up, He still loves you. That's a good definition of grace. How many of my first servicers that have been walking with us with God for like 50 years can say, you still mess up sometimes, so you need all the grace you can get? Somebody say amen. Amen. But can you imagine God walking with God into an encounter with Him that brings you identity and then changes your character? Well, Pastor, God, it gives me unconditional love. Yeah, but He loves you enough not to leave you that way. You know what? I've got people that called me this week, and I almost, I'm not going to tell anybody's business, but it really blessed me so much, and I hope that they couldn't see it on the outside, because I was almost like going to shout. I was going to like run, you know, get one of those inspired runs on, you know. And they come to me and they say, Pastor, God's been dealing with us. We've been together like for 10 years, and we like hanging out. We want to get married. I said, whoop, come on, somebody. It's a change of character that says we're missing something because we're trying to do what God wants us to do, but we're going to allow the Word of God to touch us in our lives, and we want to do it the right way. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So an encounter with God will give you identity. It will change your character. And that change of character brings you closer to intimacy with God, which allows Him to put you on mission. And now you have the missional purposes of God. And we're going to hear sermon series throughout 2018 that help you with your identity. Identify how it's going to change your character. It's going to bring you to deeper, intimate places with God that allows you to go do as well as receive. Amen? Then the second place I need you to walk is not only towards an encounter with God. This is where I hope it gets inspirational. Will you walk towards the impossible with me? Will you walk in a place where miracles exist? To where we actually participate and see God do something we can't do on our own? Will you walk with me not only to an encounter with God that makes us feel, understand, and help us to do, but will you finally take a step towards believing God for everything? I got a little video clip I'm going to play, and it's not a spiritual clip. It's actually from a great prophet named Indiana Jones. And this whole video clip is called The Step of Faith. And so, would you guys play that for me real quick? Here this prophet is named Indiana Jones. His dad's been shot. He's about to die. He's got the little book in front of him. He walks out of the cave, and all of a sudden, I wanted you to hear his exact words. It's impossible. Nobody can jump across this. And then he realizes his dad, you know, is going through all of the stuff he's going through, and he's trying to encourage his son Indy. He's telling him, only believe, only believe, only believe. And then all of a sudden it hits him. It's a step of faith. But he still has to step off that cliff. He would never know the true understanding of faith until he finally picked up that foot and stepped out there where there's nothing and believed that there would be something there. Isn't that what God tells us about faith in Hebrews? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of something that can't be seen. See, I want people that will go on this walk in 2018 that will believe in the impossible. That will believe that there's going to be a way, as long as we're walking where God has directed us to walk, that even though we will meet cliffs and canyons that seem insurmountable and unjumpable, that God has instilled inside of us a want to that is so passionate that we will look at those opportunities and say, oh, this must be where a leap of faith is required. This must be where a step of faith is required. What is the cure for the crisis and the inevitability of the impossible? Somebody taking a leap of faith. I want people that will believe not for the little things. You say, well, Pastor, and I don't want to minimize everything that we've done up until this point. We start laundry on Tuesday, can't finish it till Wednesday because we wash so many loads. We've ministered to the homeless for years. We've given thousands of bikes away. And by the way, we need volunteers. If you can do a Monday or a Wednesday during the day, Ken needs some help in the bike ministry. Over 3,000 bikes have been given away. People have required transportation to get to work. Children have received bikes that they normally wouldn't have received because they've written a report or something to that nature. We've done those things. We've had bus routes. We've done Rock the Blocks, and we've got heroes of the faith sitting right among us. And you know, sometimes I don't spotlight people, but sometimes it's just necessary. The next time you see the guy up there in the balcony waving the flag, his name is Michael Bruce, a giant among men. He is a man, one that can cook out of this world. But I'm going to tell you something. If I have something that has a supernatural touch from God, and I need somebody to pray, I'm going for the guy with the flag up in the balcony because I know he hears from God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Right here, this couple right here, they don't even know I'm going to do it, have given their lives to recovery ministry for nearly 30 years, opened up their home to establish it, then bought another one so other men could live. But wait a minute. You say, Pastor, I'm not talking about just some of the nice things that are able to be accomplished. I want somebody to believe big with me. Yes, we have Anne Marie's Restoration House. We partner with other recovery ministries, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm believing God that one day that somebody's just going to show up with an apartment building and say, hey, God's put you on my mind. And he said you were stepping out on nothing and believing that there would be something there. Here's you an apartment building that you can help recover people's lives that are broken and get them reestablished into life. I'm going to preach a little bit right here because I don't want just an apartment building. I want something for some of the issues going on in our city. If you have an 18-year-old son and he makes a bad mistake and gets convicted of a felon, he is almost destined not to get a good job. But what happens if we start companies that will afford an opportunity for second chancers that need to be given the second chance, that will establish jobs that will allow them to have their family back in place? The most unbelievable moment in my ministry, one of the low points in my ministry over the last 5 years, is when a drug dealer got saved. You say, Pastor, what do you mean it was one of the low points? No, that was the high point until he called me 2 months later. And he said, hey, man. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to live right. He said, I put in application after application. I still broke. He said, they're about to evict me and my family, and I'm struggling with the temptation. I know I can go make $1,500 tonight that could pay my rent, that could pay my mortgage, and I'm trying to do things right. I don't want ever to get a phone call like that again. I want to believe that God can take men and women that are recovered and broken, and after the transformational process of him making them whole, that we can provide a navigational step-by-step process that says, by the time you get here, we can have you a job. Amen? I'm preaching better than you're clapping. Because if God can't save the drug dealer, how's he going to save your aunt, your uncle, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife that have been watching us live this thing out time and time again? How many of you want to walk towards the impossible of that one person that you don't think could ever get saved? How would you like them in 2018 to receive the knowledge of Christ as being their Savior? Can somebody say amen? Amen. Wouldn't you like to have some personal victories? A step of faith can help you get there. I don't want, when your family thinks of righteous people, I don't want them to think of the people standing behind this pulpit. I want them to think about their dad, their mom, their husband, their wife. I want us to win as many, many victories, personal victories in your home, in your living room, and down the corridors of your hallways as we do here. You say, how many of you will agree with me that we all have character flaws? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Who gets to see those flaws come to the surface? The people that love you the most. Wouldn't you like to let them see you win sometimes? Let's walk towards miracles together. I believe that we can change the world. I got challenged this weekend. One of our own, Trina Law, she got bad news from the doctor. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent. She's been fighting cancer for years. And when I received the news this week that it not only hadn't gone away, but there may be a new kind introduced, there was a little part inside of me that said, well, it must be her time to go to heaven. Just let go and say goodbye. And then I got to the point of this message. Of, man, isn't that where Indy was? Nobody can jump this. You know, so now God shrunk up because there's a new form of cancer introduced. You know, I don't believe he has a rival. And I want to pray. I want to just, let's just stop this sermon and just pray right now. Would you stand to your feet? I'll let you sit back down in just a minute. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to tell you like Indy said, it's impossible. Without God, without a miracle, she's going to die. But it's one thing to get everybody hyped up about taking a step of faith. It's another thing for you to take one with me. So let's just open up our mouths and our heart right now and let's pray for Trina, Donovan, Law. Father, right now in the authority of your name, we believe in healing. We believe that by the power of the stripes that you shed at Calvary, we have the authority to ask as children of God for the healing virtue of our Father to make us whole. So, Father, right now, I know it seems the odds are stacked against us. I know it seems to be impossible. I know that it seems like, when is this ever going to end? But I declare the authority of the name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. There is not a type, a strain, or a cancer diagnosis that can outrun the sovereignty of your voice. I believe if you say healing, I believe she will be healed. I believe that, Father, right now we declare that healing on the authority of your word and the declaration of who we are as your people. And Father, if you want us to step out on the impossible, we want to believe for the apartment buildings and the recovery systems and the victories in our living rooms and in our homes. But Father, we want to believe in a healer that can heal the body and do the impossible in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. You can be seated for just a few more moments. You say, Pastor, that was kind of awkward. It wouldn't be awkward if it was you. I don't really pray out loud. I promise you, if you want another person on the other side of the desk of the doctor, you'd want to pray out loud. Last but not least, if you'll walk with me into an encounter with God and you'll walk with me in the land of the impossible where miracles are required, will you may take one more step with me and commit to walking together with me for 2018? That no matter where you walk, I'm going to commit to walking with you. And I just don't want to be the pastor that's walking with you. I want a congregation that's walking with me. I want to know that wherever we walk, sometimes I get a little, my faith gets a little shaky sometimes. I need encouraging brothers and sisters to say, hey, pastor, don't trim the vision. Keep believing for the impossible. I'll walk with you. See, there's new ministries going to start. One of them, I've stole the name for this portion of the message. It's called The Herd. It's going to be a new men's ministry that's going to start. And we are going to walk as a herd. We're going to do life together. See, because there's strength in a herd. What happens out on the Serengeti is there's predators. And those predators are trying to get to the herd. And what they do is they know that they're not powerful enough to defeat the herd. So what they do is they run and try to make the herd run. And when the herd runs, it helps them identify who is the old or the weak, who lags behind. And what the enemy does most of the time in your life, is when real circumstances start to crash in upon you, the first temptation is not to go do evil things. The first temptation is to stay home. Get by yourself. Nobody will understand, because the enemy's trying to isolate you. Because if he isolates you, he knows that all he has to fight is you and not the power of the herd. Now, for those of you that love animals, I'm going to show you an animal clip in just a minute. It's a little touchy. I'm going to be a spoiler. The calf lives. Okay, touch your neighbor and tell them, the calf lives. But it gets rough on the calf a little bit. Because I want to show you what really happens in the law of the jungle. When the Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want you to play this first little clip. Lions eating, trying to eat this calf, and then a crocodile shows up, and a crocodile tries to eat the calf, and the lines. But isn't that how life is? Isn't that how when it all goes bad, it seems to all go bad at one time? You lose your job, the car breaks down, you know, your husband or your wife's mad at you, your kids go crazy, all at the same time, right? And you're trying to fight, where's the lions and the crocodiles coming from? Because you feel like life is trying to eat you and the devil's trying to destroy you. I'm giving you some good gospel before we get to the end of the video. If the devil could have killed you, you'd already be dead. Come on, somebody. If he had the authority and the power to kill you, you wouldn't be here. He'd wait for you to have your biggest mistake and kill you then, so you could die in your shame. Aren't you glad God doesn't put that in his hands? So the next time he says, hey, I'm going to kill you, say, hey, you better check with my dad. And then you better check with my herd. Because this thing has been chewed on, half eaten by lions and crocodiles until the herd shows back up. Look at what, let me tell you how it gets out. The crocodile shows up. The lions talk in lion language to each other and say, let's get the heck up out this water. There's something bigger in here than us. And they drag the calf back up on the land. Then we get to this. Herd coming back. Oh, yeah. But they ain't afraid of the lions. Now look at that thing, it's struggling, still trying. It's still alive, which is a miracle all on its own. And the lions are trying to hold on to them, but the herd's coming. The big boys are coming. Look at the little guy, he gets back in the herd. I want you to know, if you'll walk with this herd called City Gate for 2018, when the lions show up and the crocodiles try to eat you and your family and everything you care about, the herd is coming. We will not leave you behind. We will not leave you way over there. We will come and get in the mess with you. We're not afraid of lions. You can play something for me. We're not afraid of lions. We got small groups coming your way. We got a parish nurse coming online that we're going to talk about on the 21st of January. That we're going to actually have a nurse that's going to be assigned to our congregation to help meet some of your medical questions and medical needs. Can somebody say amen? We've got Sunday school classes, common interest, women's ministry, men's ministry. Men, I am going to be disappointed if Mickey Franklin doesn't have two sides of a sheet of sign-ups of men saying, I want to be in that herd. I want to be part of men's ministry. We're going to shoot guns. We're going to cook chili. We're going to play ball. And for those of you that aren't outdoors persons, we're going to do your thing too. We're going to have Bible study together. We're going to have discipleship together. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to hold each other's arms together. Can somebody say amen? Man, I want to preach this thing and I'm running out of time. Come on, somebody. Come on, ladies. You should be happy about this. We got a herd coming. Haven't you been praying in your closet for somebody to ask your husband for their phone and say, let me look at that thing? I need to hold you accountable to what you're putting your eyes on. You say, why, Pastor? Because we want to bring judgment. No, we want to rescue and bring help. We don't want to judge you, because you may have to look at my phone. But I don't want to have to fight it by myself. I don't want to have to go through these things just by myself. Well, Pastor, you got God. Yeah, I do, but I'd like some friends. I talked to a 21-year-old young lady today that just needed direction. Ladies, shouldn't we be the ones looking for those 21-year-old ladies to teach them how to be women? We've got a financial freedom class. Somebody say amen. If you're spending more than you're making, show up on Wednesday night, January the 17th at 6:30. And Rich and Margaret Pogen are going to teach you how to quit doing that. Remember the couple that preached about how God, they had everything, lost it all, got something back? And how the principles of God taught, don't you want them principles in your life? They can help you with your finances. Right now, media is going to study the book of Philippians together. You can still volunteer on Frontline Ministries, Outreach, Citygate Kids, Bus Ministry, Helping Hands Bike Ministry. I saw a miracle today. Now, this one's going to get me in trouble. Don Wigginton was here at the office at 8:30 this morning. I got the Holy Spirit when I walked in today. And she was meeting with another couple getting ready to start a brand new neighborhood outreach. Because we're not going to stop at 1, 2, 5, or 8. We won't stop until we're networking with other churches to reach our entire city. Can somebody say amen? And they don't know the effort it takes to get all of that done and get here by 8:30. But I do, and I appreciate it. Amen. We have bus ministry, Helping Hands Bike Ministry that needs your help. I need a herd, and I'm asking you to go on this walk with me. Let's walk and believe God is going to fulfill the purposes of His Scripture that says, wherever you walk, I'll give it to you. I'm going to let Amy sing, but before she does, I want to take you on one more journey with me. When I was in Indiana, I come back humbled and apprehensive, because while I was there, I had a moment of prayer. And in that moment of prayer, I believe God said, David, I'll give you whatever you want for 2018. But be wise about what you ask for. If you want a crowd, I'll give you a crowd. If you want what people call success, I'll give it to you. But you think before you answer. And I didn't ask for a crowd. And I didn't ask for success. I asked for a group of people that would go on a walk with me to the land of the impossible. And that people is you. Listen to Amy sing. Dance together and give God an ovation of praise. Amen. I heard you singing, and I heard that place where He heals all diseases, and I thought of Trina. I heard your voice. Would you stand to your feet with me? I'm asking you to go for a walk in 2018 to the presence of an Almighty God. And please don't stop at how it makes you feel. But keep walking with me to the land of the impossible, and where miracles are needed, where personal victories could be had. And I don't know what 2018 holds for David Pleasant, but I need a herd. I need a group of people walking with me. Would you pray with me? Father, I've tried to do my best to communicate that we're going to learn who we are and how it changes our character. How the intimacy and relationship grows with not only you, but with one another. Father, I know that you are on my side, and I thank you for that, because there's times where nobody else could be with me but you. But then there's other times where I just need somebody driving in my truck with me, helping me cook some chili, sitting in my living room, praying for me. I need a herd. I believe you've given me this group of people right here. Anoint our eyes to see miracles in 2018 that we've never seen before. I don't want it to always be next year somebody's going to give us an apartment building. I'm going to pray for that apartment building right now for this year, for 2018. I want people to be healed and set free and delivered. I want salvations to be something that's not rare, but it's not the exception to the rule. It is the rule, where people's lives are transformed in the supernatural grace of an almighty God. I want dads to be superheroes in the sight of their wives and children. I want wives to have the gaze of their husbands as they respect and honor them. Let the personal victories of once they find in fellowship with who you are, let it be contagious into everything that they do, from the way that they work to the way that they fellowship to the way they do life together. And then, Father, anoint us, equip us. I hope and pray that if there's somebody here for the first time, that one, that they know you as their Lord and Savior. And if they don't, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit overwhelm them right now to receive you as their Lord and Savior. But Father, let them know we are not afraid of the lions here. We are not afraid of the devil, and we're not afraid of the crocodiles of this life. We will be a herd that will stick together through thick and thin. We will believe you for the impossible, even in desperate circumstances. And I give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever, because without you, nothing can be accomplished. So, Father, today set our steps in order and give us what we walk around. Father, so when we start walking around blocks, give us the blocks. When we start walking around neighborhoods, give us the neighborhoods. When we start walking around beds and bedrooms, give us our unsaved spouses. Father, when we walk down halls in our home, give us the knowledge that our children are saved and living for who you are. And I give you the praise and honor and glory, because revival is here and now among us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Don't forget to sign up in the back. If you don't, they're going to tell me I preach too long. So don't do that to me. Go for a walk with me. At least walk to the choir room with me. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.